man who prepared for that and brought you a dish. It was indeed a wonderful, enjoyable meal together. I don't know if I can make it through this afternoon or not, but we'll try. I may have to stretch out over here, but some of you have expressed the same concerns, and so we may all be in this together. But it was good to enjoy each other's company and enjoy that good food together. The outlines, I think most of you have. We passed those out, and there's some in the back if you didn't get one. This afternoon, we want to look at the subject of the last night with Jesus. The last night with Jesus. We all know who He is. We've heard of Him since we were children. Most of our lives, at least for most of us, we have heard about Jesus. But do we really know and appreciate Him for who He is and what He's done? He is God in human flesh. Imagine the God of creation came to live as one of us. He came to abide in human tabernacle. He left perfection to come and live around the vile and imperfect. He left where He was honored, only to be held in disdain. He left the place of no sorrow, that He might suffer and know sorrow. But what was it like for Him? Perhaps we can do no better than to examine the last night that Jesus was on earth, to see the ones with whom He associated, the ones before whom He was taken, and the things that occurred to Him, and then apply that to ourselves. And what would we do? How would we react if this was our last night? So the last night with Jesus, first of all, was a night with His faithful friends. A night with His faithful friends. Matthew 26 and verse 30 beginning, when they had sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. They had observed the Passover. Jesus had established the Lord's Supper. The Bible says then they sang a hymn together. You know, the disciples said on one occasion to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And of all the things that Jesus did, that's the only thing they really asked Him to instruct them in doing. Jesus was the master preacher, but they never said, "Lord, teach us to preach." Jesus was the master teacher, but they never said, "Lord, teach us to teach." I dare say that Jesus could sing very well, but they never said, "Lord, teach us to sing." But they did say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus prayed on this occasion. You and I both, each of us has known individuals that we love to hear pray in a public way because these men could articulate things and say them in such a heart-touching fashion. I've known of men that I enjoyed hearing them pray. And I can imagine that was the way Jesus was. Then said Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said to him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Many times we attribute that to Peter. He is the more outspoken one. But keep in mind that each of these faithful friends of Jesus said, "Lord, we'll die before we deny you." Peter, the outspoken one, of course, was the one who articulated that thought initially. And Jesus said to him, "You're going to deny me tonight three times." But here he was with his faithful friends. Each of us knows friends that are faithful to us, that are valuable to us. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." We have friends that are like that. Solomon mentioned them in Proverbs 18:24. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Each of us probably can picture in our minds right now an individual who is like that in our lives or has been, is a friend that sticketh closer than a sibling. He's closer than a brother or closer than a sister to our own family members. And so we have friends in that way. What greater association or relationship do we have in this world than a friend who is close even during terrible times? But Jesus chose 12 men to continue the work that He would leave behind for them. Three of those were particularly close to Him, of course. The Bible says in Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them." It'd be interesting to get a glimpse into the daily life of Jesus and these followers. He had nicknamed James and John the sons of thunder, the sons of Boanerges. Yet they were still part of his inner circle, along with Peter. These were the three closest of those disciples, and so these three held a particular bond with him. We read of them again in Matthew 26, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." In this most excruciating time and moment in Jesus' life, he chose those 12 men to be with him, but those three in particular to be even closer. And yet they fell asleep while he needed them most. But these were those which were on his mind. And these were the ones who were with him on the last night of his life. Would you have been there? Would I have been there had we been in existence in that day and time? When we think about it, this could well be the last night on earth. I have a lesson that I preached, if I remember right, in 2007. It was near the first of the year, and it was entitled, "This May Be the Year." And it was the first of the year, and I preached that. And one of the points, the lesson was, this may be the year that your life comes to an end. And it was the same year, Jeannie may correct the year for me, but it was the same year that my secretary died. And so this may be the year. We don't know. This may be the last night that we have on earth. Would we as Jesus' friends spend it with him? Jesus had those who were closest to him. And this his final hours. Can you say that you're spending it with a faithful friend as Jesus? But again, the last night with Jesus was a night in his Father's audience. Not only a night with his faithful friends, but a night in the audience of his Father. The Bible tells us in Matthew 26 and verse 39, "And he went a little further after this occasion when he had taken Peter, James, and John here into Gethsemane. Went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Verse 42, he said, "He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. Thy will be done." And he went again, of course, the third time, and prayed, saying the same words the Bible tells us. The Bible does not reveal to us that God answered him, that God said anything to him in response to this plea that Jesus made. But we know that he went away with great courage after this. The angels came and comforted him. And we know that he took great comfort in that. His friends were close, but his focus was on the Father. And we do not read of any reply to him from the Father, but we still had the Father's attention. We know that. The Bible tells us that he'll have our attention as well from Psalm 34:15. "The eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry." And so he had the attention of heaven. It's an amazing thing, really, that we as feeble human beings can garner the attention of heaven. That we can cause the ear of heaven, if you will, to be bent low and to hear our pleas and our cries and our prayers to him. So it was with Jesus. Not only was he spending this last night with his faithful friends, but he was spending it in the audience of his Father. He is the perfect example for us in that, because 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Here Jesus was casting all his care upon the Father, because this was a most trying time for him. And although the answer for Jesus was not positive in the sense that his prayer was granted, that there was another way chosen, we know, of course, there was no other way, but it was powerful for us. This very night he fell on his face on the earth he created. This very night he pleaded for another way, but none was possible. As we said before, in order for him to be a Savior for us, there could be no Savior for him. Not only that, but this night was one in which he came from a place of no grief to where now he sweated great drops of blood. So what a contrast in nights for him. If this were your last night, would it be spent in the audience of the Father? I don't know what your prayer life is like, but it should be a daily affair at least. So when do you pray to God? If this were your last night to live, would it be spent in the audience of the Father? It was that way with Jesus. But again, on the last night with Jesus, it was a night of his followers' terror. The terror of those who followed him. Matthew 26 and verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They were fearful. They didn't know what to think. Mark, of course, being the young man whose garment was taken away and he fled away naked, was there as well. But these fled in fear because of what was about to transpire. Have you ever had a friend to fail you? A friend to betray you? You ever been forsaken by someone close at a time when you needed them the most? Have you ever been bullied in the presence of others with no one to defend you? That was Jesus on this occasion. And although they said they would never do it, each of these fled that very same night from the presence of Jesus during his darkest hour. They had seen the power of Jesus many times. They witnessed it in the very night that of this very night with Malchus, as Peter had cut off his ear and Jesus had healed it. They had witnessed the power of Jesus, and still they fled in the face of adversity. They knew the prophecies and the prophets better than anyone except for Jesus himself. They knew that those prophets had revealed that this time was coming, that Jesus would be taken, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone each one our own way, of course, according to Isaiah 53. Fear took over and they fled the scene and forsook the Savior. If this were the last night, would it be one in which you're terrified? Yes, none of us looks forward to death. We think about it as we grow older. We don't look forward to the cause or that which will lead us into death, but we should not face it as other individuals do, with great terror and fear, as these men did on this occasion. If this was the last night, would it be spent with your faithful friend Jesus? Would it be spent in the audience of the Father? Or would it be spent as a night of terror if you knew it were your last night? But again, the last night with Jesus was a night before his false witnesses. His false witnesses. Matthew 26, 59 and 60. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yet though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. You ever been accused of something that you didn't do? I remember it plainly. I think it was the fifth grade. Again, Jeannie can correct me if not. We had a teacher whose name was Miss Hallman. Miss Hallman was she probably appeared to a fifth grader to be at least 120 years old. She probably was about 50. But to a fifth grader, she did. She was a short little woman who was mean as a snake to fifth graders. And we were sitting in those individual desks. The backs were open, just two bars with the place you lean back on. And we were taking the test or studying individually or something, and a guy beside me was talking to the one beside him. And I saw Miss Hallman get up from her chair at her desk and reach in her drawer. I knew what was coming out. Paddle that was about half as long as she was. And here she came, and I thought, oh, they're going to get it now. And before I knew it, I'd been hit. She thought I was talking. She hit me, and I thought, man, what in the world? I wasn't talking. She probably made up for a number of other times when I had been talking, but I wasn't doing anything. And I got punished for something I had not done. And that's probably happened to each of us at some point or another. None of us has ever been put to death unjustly, though. I've said before that no one has ever done anything worse to you than what you've done to God. But here, these individuals were false witnesses before the Lord. They accused him of things he had not done. And yet he stood silent in the face of those accusers. The Bible says in verse 62 and 63, the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. If we put these together in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at this time, every time that Jesus was accused or was threatened with something that was personal in nature, he never answered. But if he was accused of something that applied to his deity, he always answered. So he wouldn't answer a false accusation about himself personally, but about his deity, he answered on these occasions. Verses 67 and 68, then did they spit in his face, buffeted him, others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? And so they ridiculed him, they mocked him on that occasion. on this last night of the earth for the Lord, prior to his resurrection, of course, Jesus was mocked and ridiculed and slandered and abused and falsely condemned. Just think about us. If this were your last night on earth, would you be a false witness against Christ? Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." And so if we're not true to him, then we're false to him. How would we be if this was our last night on earth? Jesus, in his last night on earth, spent it with faithful friends. He spent it in the audience of his father. He spent it likewise in the terror of his followers. But also, he spent it as a night before false witnesses. But again, the last night with Jesus was a night of his friends' denial. Notice a single individual here, that of course being Peter. We find Matthew 26 and verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever lied to get out of a difficulty? Maybe as a kid, as a teenager, to your parents or some school authority. Somewhere along the line, to get out of a difficulty, you told something that wasn't true. Peter was told that he would do this hours before he did it. Peter said, I'll die before I deny you. And the Lord said, "No, this night you're going to deny me three times." But we keep in mind, of course, that these other disciples had done the same thing. They had agreed with Peter and said, "That goes for me, Lord. I'm not going to deny you." But here Peter was so bold to make that mention. How could he go from being one willing to die for Jesus to one who denied him and swore when someone said that he did? These individuals said to him, "You're one of his followers." "No, I'm not." "You were with this man." "No, I wasn't." "You know him." "No, I don't." How could he go from one who would pledge that loyalty to Jesus and then simply fall away? Let's follow his fall. First, the Bible said he followed afar off. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace. Now, notice before this time, Peter was close. Remember, he was one of the inner circle. But now he was following from afar. Could that be our lives? Could it be that once upon a time we followed very closely, but now we just follow from afar? This was one of the steps that led to Peter's denial of the Lord. He followed afar off. He also sat with the wrong servants. Matthew 26:58, "And went in and sat with the servants to see the end." He was sitting among the ungodly. He was sitting in a group with which he should not have been associated. Not only that, he warmed at the wrong fires. We find in John 18:25, "Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not." He was warming in a sense then by the devil's fires. It was a cold night, the Bible tells us, and they had made a fire to warm themselves, and Peter went over to be among them, warming by the wrong fire. But also he forgot what his Lord had said unto him until it was too late. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 1 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Think about Peter. He walked afar off. He followed from afar. "That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." Where was Peter? Standing among those individuals that were denying Christ. "Nor sitteth in the congregation, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Peter sat and warmed himself by the fires of others. But then, of course, as we said, Peter forgot what his Lord had said until it was too late. Mark 14:72. "The second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept." If this were your last night on earth, would you spend it in denial of the Lord, our friend? Would you spend it as a faithful follower of his? You see, this last night is something that we would not wish upon our worst enemy. Yet here we learn a great deal about Jesus by looking at the last night in which he was on earth. Where would you stand if this were the last night with Jesus? Would it be denying him as Peter did and as these others promised they wouldn't do, but by their refusal to follow, they in essence denied? Would it be speaking to the Lord through him? Jesus spent his last night in his Father's audience. He was there praying to God on this occasion. Even though the prayer would not be responded to in a positive way, as we would think about it, it would not be answered in a positive way, but he still prayed to his Father. He spent his night with his faithful friends. He spent his night in his Father's audience. Or would it be as some of these spent that night terrified because of him? Many individuals will be that way. Many will say, Jesus said, and to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils, thy name done many wonderful works, and I will profess in them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so some will be terrified on that last night, if you will. But will it be as some of these did, falsely accusing him? Some will do that to the bitter end. Some will simply never relinquish their lives to the Lord. Could that be the case with some of us? Maybe if this were the last night on earth, our life would have been spent in false accusation about him. Or would it be spent in being a faithful friend to him, one on whom he can depend? You see, how we will be on that last night is determined a great deal by what we are at this very time. Because we never know when that last night will be. Jesus knew when his last night was. He knew that the end was near. And he began to tell his disciples about that. They didn't have the true realization that this was the last night that Jesus would be with them. That came to a reality to them when there in the garden they came and arrested him. When he was taken before Pilate's judgment hall and there condemned. When he was scourged and then placed on the Roman cross. They knew then they had spent their last night with Jesus. That is, prior to his resurrection. They would get to spend more time with him after he had risen from the dead and prior to his ascension. But that was the last night, prior to his being crucified. Yes, they were his faithful friends, but they had forsaken him. There were false accusers that came before them. There were those who were saying he was guilty of this and that when he wasn't. There were some who were fearful, as the apostles were. The last night with Jesus tells us a lot about his life. He was accused falsely. He knelt down and prayed from the very ground that he himself had created, called upon God the Father in heaven from which he had come, and he prayed for his disciples and for all mankind, really. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17:17, as he had prayed earlier. He prayed for each of us when he was on that cross. If it was the last night that we had on earth, how would it be spent? The last night will be spent very much so, the way the last day will be spent. And your last week will have been spent. And your last month will have been spent. As Christians, we should grow in our grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We should abound every day in the cause of Christ and in our appreciation and love for him and our maturity in Christ. We examine our lives. If this were to be the last night that we would be on earth, how would we spend it? We know a great deal about Jesus just by looking at the last night on the earth, when he lived among men and was about to die before men, how he spent that night with faithful friends, with false accusers, in his Father's audience. And we can see why individuals were terrified, why others denied him and turned away. But how will it be with us? If today you would like to change your last night on earth, and we can do that by changing our last day on earth, our last week on earth, our last month on earth, because you see, that last night will be reserved for the way in which we spent that last day, that last week, that last month, that last year. And so today, if this were to be your last night, would it end the way you would want it to do? If not, you can make a change in your life. We know that Peter had a chance to say to the Lord, you know I love you, three times, in answer and reply to the three denials. Peter was allowed to say, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Peter was allowed to repent of that. We have an opportunity to do that as well. And so today, if your life is not what it ought to be, you'd like to make changes in it, God has given us that opportunity. this afternoon before this good group of followers, you can make those things right. If you never obeyed the gospel, you can do that. Believing Jesus to be the Son of God. Repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, being baptized for the remission of sins, you can be a part of His body. But if you turned away from the way of faithfulness, fled in the face of adversity, as some of these did, tonight, this afternoon you can return and ask God's forgiveness, knowing He's faithful and just to forgive, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Can we assist you this afternoon? If so, won't you come while we stand, while we sing together?